and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Does God walk us through changes in life? Does He cause us to grow during those transitions and even reveal His will to us? Even our gifts? Does He enable our gifts to be developed even further? Part of this relates to our guest today. Well, a lot of it relates to our guest and how God has worked in his life. I'm speaking of none other than Pastor Jerry Hubbard. Are you experiencing moments of transition in your life? Are you hoping that God will reveal a gift and maybe provide an opportunity for you to serve him and to serve others? We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to lead you, dear friend, closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Lord Jesus who has touched the heart of Jerry Hubbard, and led him to the vibrant and vital ministry that he has today. And so we remind you that God loves you so much, even as Jerry responded to the gospel, that you would respond to the good news that Christ loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and yes, 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, who's reaching out to you right now, calls you to himself. And I ask you, would you open your heart to Jesus? Would you receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Pastor Jerry Hubbard first came to Kamuki Christian Church, or KCC, as a new believer in Jesus. This is back in the mid-70s. He met his wife Dawn at KCC and has served both the church and school in varying roles prior to becoming associate pastor and administrator. Pastor Jerry and Dawn have two adult children and two grandsons. Pastor Jerry, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
Jerry, where did you grow up?
Well, my dad was an Army officer, a West Point graduate, who had moved around a lot. My mother came here in 1946 on the Lurline. Her dad was also in the military, and she went to UH and then married my dad, so began a lifetime of travel. We never lived anywhere longer than 3 years until actually moved back here after I finished college on the mainland. I went to the University of Arizona in Tucson, but one Christmas time I was home visiting with my folks, and my dad said, "So, you're going to get a job this summer? What are you going to do?" Well, I played tennis at University of Arizona, and the coach used to have coaches' meetings, and they had postings of places that you could go and teach for the summer, teach tennis. And so one of those places was a place called Punahou School, and I was talking to my dad about that, and my mother was in the kitchen doing the dishes. It was a great moment as I think back on that, because she was within earshot but couldn't see my dad and I talking at the table in the other room. And I said, "Well, there's this place, Punahou School," and my mom from the kitchen yells, "You're going." Well, as it turned out, I had never been there. I didn't know much about it, but my mother knew a lot about that, had friends that had gone to Punahou in those years in the 1940s when she was in college. But long story short, I came here that first summer and taught tennis there and thought, if I can't make it as a pro tennis player on the circuit, I'm going to come back here and teach tennis for my job. And that's what I did. So, again, I moved around all over the U.S. and lived overseas. I lived in France for 3 years when I was in elementary school, and then went to high school in Bangkok, Thailand, graduated from the International School of Bangkok. But then, as I say, came back here in the 70s and made it my home and been here ever since.
What do you remember traveling to France, living in Thailand in your high school years? But let's start with France.
Well, I was little. I was a kid, of course. But I remember that my parents had always taught us about the importance of trying to learn to appreciate other people's cultures. And so that's where I got exposed, for example, to learning how to speak French, which became my language. And that was kind of common in school as I grew up. You could choose between French and Spanish and German pretty much in those years. But I had learned as a child, which was turned out to be very helpful in my life. And but I think the bigger thing was learning to appreciate cultures. Later, we had moved back to different places on the mainland and eventually to Thailand, which, again, at that time of history, that was during the Vietnam War era. My dad was serving there in the military. Bangkok was a very intense third world city and was a long way from Kansas, Toto. And I had to learn very quickly about, A, what it was like to appreciate a culture that I'd never lived in Asian and Southeast Asia in particular. And that, I remember, was a valuable lesson. I remember when I had moved here and I was teaching tennis, there were some other guys that had come from different places on the mainland to teach with us at that time. And shall we say, they didn't have much experience with people from other cultures. They were from places that was pretty homogenous in terms of their culture and ethnicity and so forth. And I told them, wow, this place is great. And they said, what do you mean great? I said, well, everybody speaks English and you can drink the water, you know? And I was used to that. Well, I think I just said that a little tongue in cheek because the cultures of Hawaii, when I got here, I thought, this place is wonderful. There's so much diversity. And as I say, then later, you know, finding my way to Kaimuki Christian, which, interestingly enough, over the years, although it's not by anybody's design, it was probably by God's design, it's very representative in a broad brushstroke of the different ethnic makeup that we have in our islands. And that's still part of our commitment in terms of value as a church, is to represent the island mosaic that we have here with all different kinds of people. I met my wife, Dawn, who's a local girl, and was the first non-Asian person in her family. So I've learned a lot about what it's like to adapt. And so, like I say, I'm thankful to God that he gave me the upbringing he did, because living here has just been a blessing.
How did you become a Christian, Jerry?
Well, I grew up going to church. My parents took my brother and sister and myself to church. I remember learning about God, having bedtime prayers. We would go to Sunday school when I was about 12. I went through a process that the church that we were going to at that time called confirmation. And I remember thinking, yeah, I believe in God. Meaning I've told people after I became an adult, I don't remember a time that I didn't believe in God. I always felt like I believed in God. But it wasn't until I got to college, Danny, that I realized that there were some people that seemed to be very passionate, very excited about their relationship with God. I'm talking about Jesus a lot. I had never really experienced that. That seemed, honestly, a little strange to me until I met this one guy. He was in my dorm. His name is Larry, and he was a tall guy trying out for the basketball team there at a Division I, you know, university. Like me, I was trying out for the tennis team. So we hit it off. We both were, you know, trying to make it. We weren't scholarship guys. And so we hit it off. We began to talk. And I remember one day he came into my room and he began to open a little booklet, which many years later I realized that was called The Four Spiritual Laws, a little booklet that Bill Bright wrote from Campus Crusade for Christ, which is now called CRU. And began to explain that to me, and I remember thinking, you know, this makes sense. But at that time, again, to be honest, I wasn't really ready to make that commitment and basically put it off and continued on trying a variety of things that most all young people are exposed to when they leave home and go to a state university somewhere. And fraternities and the party life, and again, athletics, intellectualism. It really wasn't until, though, I had finished college and come back here that I began to search more deeply, Danny. I had a good job. I had gotten a job here at a pretty nice hotel down in Waikiki teaching tennis. I was 22 years old. I shared a beautiful place up on Tantalus with a friend of mine that I had bumped back into, a guy that I had taught tennis with before. As it turned out, long story short, he had been raised as a Christian, and he could tell that I was searching. And he said, you know, have you ever considered reading the Bible? And I thought, okay, I'll try it. I'll give it a try. And I told him, I said, I'm not sure I can understand the Bible. And I tried to read it before, like, I don't know, in school and different things that had a bunch of archaic language. So he said, no, they have translations now in modern-day English. So we went down and got a Bible that we can understand. And I have to admit, I was very skeptical. And at that time, I remember I just thought, no, I'm just going to read on my own. And that's what I did. I began to read the Bible on my own. Well, during that time, I used to ask him questions. He was smart enough, wise enough, really, to know that trying to be pushy with me was not going to help. I, like I say, was skeptical and was not going to have my arm twisted, especially about something as important as belief in God. Fortunately, I had also met another guy, or actually bumped into again. I had met him several years earlier, a guy named Bob Turnbull, who used to run the Waikiki Beach Chaplaincy, and he had a service on the beach there in front of the Hilton Hawaiian. Well, I worked at the Ilikai, and I worked on Sundays, so I would occasionally sneak over there in between my tennis lessons and would talk to him. And he had been a former athlete and was a very good communicator, and he answered a lot of my questions and would get together with me periodically. Well, long story short, I didn't have one of those kinds of conversion experiences that people sometimes refer to, where it's like, boom, they had like a light bulb go on or a lightning bolt hit them, or they had a warm, fuzzy feeling or whatever, however you would describe that. I don't discount those kinds of experiences. But for me, it was more gradual. It was more like a sunrise, where it's like as I read more and more about the Bible, got some of my questions answered, it's like God was slowly opening my eyes to how great life could be if I walked with him. And at a certain point, I remember thinking, I want to be a Christian. From there, I remember talking to Bob Turnbull, and he encouraged me one day. He said, well, hey, it was right after a worship service there on the beach. He said, do you want to be baptized? I said, well, I think I was baptized when I was a baby. He said, no, that was fine. But he said, do you want to do something as an adult, as your own decision? I said, yeah. So I just did it. I just took off my shirt, had my tennis shorts on, went right into the waves in Waikiki and got baptized. He later encouraged me. He said, you know, this is a service on the beach for visitors. You really need to get plugged into a church that's local, that's stable, that has a good pastor, that has some people your age. You need to find that. And I had just moved from where I was there in Tantalus down really on the edge of Kahala. And he said, I know a great church for you. It's called Kaimuki Christian Church.
Wow.
And I know the pastor, a guy named Harold Gallagher, and you got to go. And I used to go there on Sunday nights and would drive up on my 10-speed and make it for the Sunday night service, since I worked on Sundays. And eventually, like I say, got plugged in and began growing from there.
Well, Bob Turnbull, a man of wisdom, gave you great guidance there, directing you to Kaimuki Christian. If you only knew what God had in store, even to what God is doing today. You're listening to Jerry Hubbard, Pastor Jerry Hubbard, the associate pastor. He's the administrator there at Kaimuki Christian Church. Jerry reminds me of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, Jerry and Bob Turnbull. Hey, look, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized?
Yeah, well said.
You did it. You did it there, man. Just yeah. And what better place, huh? Waikiki. Waikiki Beach,
yes.
Right there by the Ilikai. When we come back from our break, more from Jerry. As you can tell, he has the gift of, well, when he speaks, I don't know, it's kind of like a sunrise for me. where the Lord begins to speak in ways that, well, I might not have seen before. It's just sort of the sun rising and God speaking and showing things and revealing things to our hearts. Your heart, dear one, as you listen today, I believe like a sunrise, the Lord will minister to you, revealing things, speaking to your heart. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Jerry Hubbard, well, he tried all kinds of things to find happiness while in college, fraternity life, the tennis team, intellectualism, and yet he was left with a prevailing sense of dissatisfaction that increased, as it were, over time. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, and we're so grateful that you're with us today. And why? Because we're blessed. We're blessed to be in the presence, to have Jerry Hubbard with us, sharing heart to heart. Well, as he said before our break, he came to know the Lord Jesus like a sunrise. He knew his desire for the Lord was clear, and he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find out more about Pastor Jerry Hubbard and Kamaki Christian Church at kamakichristian.org. Maybe you're tuning in right now, caught the tail end of our last segment. You can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and you can download it, listen to it, 24/7, available for you. That and other resources, again, at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Jerry, let's take a few steps back. Your life is so fascinating. I want more background. How did you get your start in tennis? And eventually becoming a tennis professional?
Well, I think it was something my parents would play tennis as I was growing up. in those years, they only had the old heavy wooden rackets. Tennis has changed a lot since I was a kid.
With a rather small face, right?
Yes. And in fact, I have one in my office, and I was just meeting with some young people from a closed country that attend our church about them being baptized, and they pointed at the rack and they said, "Oh, that's for badminton, right?"
I said, "Oops."
So I said, "No, that's actually what tennis rackets used to look like."
Really?
Anyway, but tennis has changed a lot. I was about, I think, 10 or 11, and it was one summer. That was kind of a fun thing for kids to do. We would go swimming, and then they had a tennis court nearby, and my parents said, "Here, go try it," you know. And it was hard. The rackets are so heavy that it was, until you were about that age, you couldn't really pick it up and swing it very easily. But I picked it up, and I just was, you know, hooked on that at that time. Later, we moved. My dad was sent to his first tour of duty in Vietnam, and we moved to San Antonio, Texas, where my grandparents live, my mother's parents. And it's a bit warmer there than where we had been living at that time. And they had there was an opportunity that I had that I could go take tennis lessons three times a week at this country club. Now, when you're in the military, and most people know this, you never go without. You always have what you need, but you know, extra things like joining a country club, usually that's you know, that doesn't happen. But they had a special thing for wives of servicemen that were serving overseas, and my mother got this kind of special membership and took us there. Anyway, I took tennis lessons and got my training there. Later, like I say, we moved again and then again. And finally, and by the time that we was high school, and I was about 14 when we moved to Thailand, there, of course, in that tropical, equatorial kind of climate, you could play tennis year-round, whereas on the mainland, you kind of played when it was warm enough to do so. But I had played other sports. I'd played basketball, and I continued to do that in high school, which was good because I kept you in shape. And when it was warmer, then I would play tennis. Then I played on the high school tennis team there. Had a very good coach, a man who was a Thai man who had played Davis Cup. And for those of you not familiar with tennis, Davis Cup is sort of like the Olympics for tennis, the World Cup for tennis if you're a soccer player. And this man was a classic example of somebody that came from a third world country, just never had the opportunity. But he was clearly a world-class tennis player. Had he had the opportunity, he probably could have been, you know, like today, these guys on TV making millions and millions of dollars. But I was fortunate enough to take lessons from him. He really helped me to understand the game. Eventually, like I say, high school ended, and I went to college and then tried out. And they had 40 guys that were trying out for the tennis team. Myself and one other guy made it, and I'm grateful to have played for the University of Arizona, which was in the top 10 of the NCAA at that time, and as a walk-on. So, again, if anybody, understands tennis now, if you even can make a team, that's a big deal. So I'm very grateful for that.
Jerry, did you remain a walk-on, or did you ever get a scholarship?
No. You had to beat the scholarship guys. Tennis is an individual sport, so you had to play head-to-head. And I got close lots of times, but honestly, I think the fact that I couldn't beat those guys was a big part of me coming to that point in my heart of hearts of realizing, no, I'm not going to make it as a tennis pro on TV making buckets of money or you know, the glamorous life, whatever you'd want to call that. And I think God used that sense of, okay, well, what am I going to do now, given that so many of my goals had been centered around this idea. And I think God used that to help me to reach that point where I cried out to him.
Good.
What did you study at the University of Arizona?
Well, it took me a couple of years to kind of figure. I took basic courses until the end of my sophomore year when I realized that one of the things I really enjoyed was speech communication. Now, by the way, in retrospect, I had no concept that I would be a pastor one day, none whatsoever. And yet God led me in his sovereignty to major in speech communication. And in particular, I was I was interested in public speaking, but I was most interested in small group communication, which was being studied really very closely at that time in the 70s for the very first time. There had been other studies going on, but I remember I was very interested in that. And later, as I became a Christian and got involved with small groups, and then later led a small group, and then later led leaders of small groups, all that stuff came back to me. And then eventually, again, when I did become a pastor and began to have opportunities to preach and speak publicly, I thought, God almost has a sense of humor in that way to be able to help me to prepare for that eventual career.
So you got to Hawaii. You worked. You were working at the upscale hotel. I guess it was the Ilikai, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lived in a beautiful mountaintop home. Why was that not enough?
You know, that's a good question, Danny. At that point, I had kind of walked away from what, for lack of a better term, could be called the party life. That was empty. I'd been there, done that type of thing. I thought, well, you know, maybe I should become a vegetarian. I had some friends that were they weren't exactly, in the old days we used to call them hippies. They weren't exactly that, but they're very interested in health and very conscious of that. And they had encouraged me, hey, try these things. And I did, and I thought that was great. And of course, nothing wrong with being healthy. But as I say, in spite of that good health, I had a great job, a very enviable lifestyle, especially for somebody who's 22 at the time. There was still something on the inside that was missing, and I did not know what that was. But that was when I took the advice of that friend of mine at that time to begin to investigate the Bible. I had, by the way, looked into other major world religions. I had tried other sort of trendy things. There was a thing in those years called Transcendental Meditation, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, and there were other things that were out there that promised to meet your deepest inner needs and so on and so forth. But all those came up short, Danny. And as I say, it wasn't until when I really read the scripture and sensed that this ancient book still had relevance for my life today that I realized that's the direction I wanted to go.
Jerry Hubbard sharing the journey, well, giving us more of a backstory of how the Lord, through the marvelous weaving of tapestry as only God can do in our lives, even to the point where the Lord is, retrospectively, as we look back, here is a man taking speech communication. You can hear how eloquent he is, but speech communication, not knowing even what he was going to be doing today. Perhaps the Lord is enabling you to go through certain experiences in your life. Maybe you're doing things that are preparation moments for what God has in store. The Lord certainly doesn't waste the experiences that he allows us to have. When we come back from our break, more from Pastor Jerry Hubbard. You can find out more about the ministry of Kamaki Christian Church at kamakichristian.org, led by Pastor Ron Arnold. Jerry mentioned Pastor Harold Gallagher, who preceded Pastor Ron. I know when we come back, Suzanne is going to want to ask about Dawn. Jerry, Suzanne always wants to know about how the husbands and wives meet and how God orchestrates their coming together. So let's talk about that and other things pertinent to living life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Danny Yamashiro here. Thanks for joining us today. Suzanne Maurer with me, Pastor Jerry Hubbard. Find out more at kamakichristian.org and get this program and our other resources that we make available for you and our national and international broadcasts available at goodlifeslice.com. Suzanne?
Yes, Danny, thank you. We heard earlier that Jerry and Don met at Kaimuki Christian. I'd like to know a little bit more about that.
Well, I was active in the church, I think, about a year and a half before Don came. I was in a small group being led by one of the younger guys. I mean, he was older than me, but he was a younger guy in the church who was discipling guys that were serious about their faith. And as it turned out, he used to bring a lot of people to church. He was a real evangelist. And bottom line is, he, one night, we had a Wednesday night Bible study, the old prayer and praise group that met in our fellowship hall, which is still there at Kaimuki Christian. And I was playing guitar. I was leading songs. We'd sit in a circle. And my friend Jim came in, and his wife, and this gorgeous gal that turned out to be the cousin of my friend's wife. So I basically had a hard time keeping my mind on what chords I was playing and song I was singing because she, you know, walked into the room. And the bottom line is I thought, I got to get to know this girl. So in short, I was leading a singles Bible study at that time, and she, like a lot of other singles, needed a ride. And over time, it just turned out that she always wanted a ride home. So we got to know each other more and more, but all jesting kind of aside, most of the time we spent together was there at church in Christian activities, which was a change for both of us, a very welcome and a healthy change from kind of the lifestyle that we had lived before we had committed our lives to Christ. But we dated there for, again, about maybe a year or so, and eventually got engaged and got married, and we just celebrated our 39th anniversary.
Oh,
so,
congratulations.
We're excited.
That is wonderful. And your children?
Yeah, we have two grown children, and our son lives on Maui with his wife and two boys. We're actually going to see them this weekend, so we're excited about that.
Yay.
Our daughter still lives here in Honolulu and is active in our church.
Wonderful. Thank you. That's so good, Danny. Thank you.
How did you go from tennis coach to pastor?
You know, that is an interesting story. When I was first a Christian and I was still teaching tennis at the Ilika, I can vividly remember to this day, I remember I was walking back to my tennis ball basket, that it was a basket that was full of tennis balls, and I had been able to help this one student of mine learn how to hit this one particular kind of shot in tennis. And as I was walking back, it just came to my mind. I thought, it's so great to teach tennis for my job, but how much greater would it be to teach the Bible for my job and help people to know about God more? And so I talked to Pastor Gallagher. He was a very conservative person theologically, but a very he had a high risk tolerance when it came to trying new things for God's kingdom. And I remember he said to me, he said, most people, if they want to become a minister, because I said, well, what would you do if you wanted to become a minister? He said, well, you'd go to Bible school and then you would go to seminary. Well, I already had an undergraduate degree from college and I had a job that I liked. So I really couldn't see myself quitting my job and going back to school. But he said, you know, that's not a problem. He said, here at our church, we say this anyway. He said, and I still remember this and quote this to people today. Every member is a minister. I happen to be the pastor, but every member is a minister. And I took that seriously, and I thought, okay. And he told me, you know what? Why don't you just keep serving? And I did. I remember I volunteered for a lot of different things. In those days, we used to still wash out the plastic communion cups after church. And I remember I would do that, and I would help count the offering after church or be an usher. And then I remember this one time they had a thing. They were trying to get more Sunday school teachers. So I walked up to this dear lady, and I said, well, I'll volunteer. And she said, well, what age would you like to teach? And I said, well, what do you need? And she said, and she looked, had this kind of deer in the headlights look, and she said, how about fifth and sixth grade boys? You know, like, are you really going to say yes to this? Well, I was used to fifth and sixth grade boys. I dealt with them on the tennis court, which, by the way, you know, if you get 10 fifth and sixth grade boys on tennis court with tennis records, that's an insurance nightmare, you know? So I was used to that.
Waiting to happen.
Yeah, I was used to that. So I said, sure, I'll do it. I taught Sunday school. I did all kinds of things, Chris car washes or, what you know, help paint the building or whatever needed to be done. Over time, like I say, Pastor Gallagher, I remember he was sharing with me, he said, you know, Jesus was the one who said, if you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in much. And I said to myself, that's what I want to do. And he kept giving me more and more opportunities to serve. And again, I talked about leading worship sometimes, eventually leading a Bible study, then eventually leaders of Bible studies. In 1983, the church decided to plant two new churches, one on the Big Island up in Volcano and then one in Hawaii Kai. And so Pastor Ron was an associate pastor at Kaimuki Christian at that time. And so he challenged Don and me along with some, it was six other couples, including Hal and Lana Jones, for those of you who know Hal and Lana, to go out and help plant this church. And it started with 12 adults and some kids. 3.5 years later, we had about 120 adults. And then, again, long story short, in the summer of 1986, I remember thinking, you know, I'd still like to be a pastor. The elders at Kaimuki Christian had encouraged me, go out to Waikai, help plant that church. It wasn't a paid position or anything, but it would give me a lot of opportunity, and it did. But during that summer, Pastor Gallagher contacted me and said, you know, there's an opportunity at Kaimuki Christian. We began to meet and talk, and Pastor Ron was so encouraging, and he put in plenty of good words for me. But 6 months later, I was on staff at Kaimuki Christian, the first guy that had not gone to Bible college or seminary that was ordained to the ministry at Kaimuki Christian. Now, since that time, a number of people have gone that route. Including my longtime associate, Cal Takara, who just recently retired, Pastor Ta Chuen of our Vietnamese church, and others. But I had that unique privilege of going into ministry. Now, it was after that that I began to get my master's, at that time at International College and Graduate School. I think that's when you and I got to know each other first, Danny. I think it was during those years that I was a part-time student there getting my master's at International. But in any case, that was sort of the short version of how I got into full-time ministry.
How did you find your passion, Jerry, for administration from being involved in church planting?
It almost sounds like an oxymoron. Is it possible for an administrator to be passionate? No, I joke a little bit about that. You know, I was telling Suzanne on the break, you know, if you would have told me, say, 20 years ago, this is going to be your life, you know. You know, you're going to go from being an associate at Kaimuki Christian, and again, kind of fast forward in the future, I was later asked to go out and be the pastor at Hawaii Kai Christian, where I was there for 7 years. And again, if you would have told me, you know, again, 20 years ago, well, you're going to go out there, do the very best you can, and yet it's not going to work. And you're going to get discouraged. In fact, you're going to get burnt out and have something kind of like chronic fatigue syndrome, something I had never had. But after that, you're going to move on, and you'll eventually end up back at Kaimuki Christian School, but this time as a teacher and a chaplain. And then 5 years later, you're going to be back on the pastoral staff, but mainly as an administrator. I would have said to you, you got the wrong guy. You know, meaning I would not have chosen that path for myself based on the things that I understood. But, you know, again, God in his sovereignty knew that this was going to come. And I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to go into that. But more to the point of your question, you know, again, as I first considered being an administrator, which is a full-orbed type of a work, one of the things I look to in the scripture is two of my heroes from the Bible. One was Joseph, who essentially became an administrator first for Potiphar when he was a slave there. He took care of all of the details, and later for all of Pharaoh of Egypt, and was able to basically save his family and many other people because of his work as an administrator. And then later to Daniel, one of my other heroes in the Old Testament, who, of course, in living in Babylon, being so faithful that he served for multiple kings. And I thought, you know, if God called those two guys, he could call me to do that. And so, again, one of the neater things I've seen is how when we make ourselves available to God, then he gives us the ability. I think it's been said before, God is not so much interested in our ability as he is in our availability. And I've sought to make myself available to God. Here I am, Lord, send me. Meaning, use me in whatever capacity you want me to. And I've discovered, even though transitioning from like a church planning situation to then becoming an administrator, yeah, I had a lot to learn. I still do. But it's been exciting to see how God has equipped me as I've gone along. And I would hasten to add, a lot of very capable people with a lot of expertise, like in finance or technology or human resources or property, that I work with currently and did before, that have been wonderful help to me in my role as trying to keep all those things moving in the right direction.
Jerry, when we come back in our final segment, one of the questions I typically ask is, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times? I'm going to ask you that. I'm just preface that by saying that there perhaps is someone today who's listening, who's facing their own challenges. Perhaps some of the things that you've gone through, or whatever it is the Lord lays on your heart to share, could speak to a dear friend today, one of our dear listeners, at a critical time. So let's be prayerful about that. And dear one, as you listen, as we go to break, also be prayerful in your own moment, in your own situation. But let's be trusting the Lord with a sense of anticipation that the Lord, through Jerry Hubbard, will speak to you and speak to you in a personal way, in a way that only God can enable us to do. But to bring a word of hope, a word perhaps of guidance, certainly encouragement and inspiration, Heart to Heart with you when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Pastor Jerry Hubbard is the associate pastor and administrator at Kaimuki Christian Church. Find out more about Kaimuki Christian, KaimukiChristian.org, KaimukiChristian.org. Pastor Jerry, how has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
Well, He is faithful, and that, I suppose, could be looked at as a kind of a trite kind of a way of putting it, but I can say that it's true. I mentioned earlier before the break, Danny, that in 1995, I was asked to leave Kaimuki Christian, where I'd been an associate for 9 years. Old Pastor Gallagher had retired. I had served as the interim pastor there for about 6 months, and Ron Arnold came back. He had been pastoring in Oregon at a church up there and then came back, and of course we knew each other so well. Was exciting to be back together and helping Kaimuki Christian go to the next level. But about a year and a half later, the church in Hawaii Kai that, of course, Ron had started, and then Don and I had been part of that church plant, needed help. They had lost their pastor that had been there before then. They hadn't had a pastor for 19 months and had lost 75% of their membership. It, maybe in its heyday, had been about 200 people, had gone dwindled down to about 50 adults. And I had gone out there a couple different times as a guest speaker and so forth and reconnect with some of the people. Of course, some were new by then, but I had a heart to do that. And they said, would you be willing to come out and be our interim pastor? And I said, sure. And so we went, and then within a few months, they asked me to stay. And so we prayed about it, and with the blessing of the elders and the staff there at Kaimuki Christian, we stayed. We saw a lot of neat things happen. We saw people come to faith in Christ, and we began to make some inroads in the community. Waikai has, of course, been there since the 1960s, but By that point had grown. It was, I guess the community was about 20 years old at that point, or no, maybe a little more, excuse me, maybe 30 years old by that point. But largely what, you know, sociologists would call like a bedroom community, meaning people weren't there during the day a lot of times. And so trying to find ways to build the church up and get to know people, got involved in the community in a variety of ways to try to reach out and make a difference. Of course, there were other churches there, and I knew the other pastors and still know some of them that are still out there. And we did a lot of joint things together, like Easter sunrise service and different neat things like that. The challenges began to emerge in our church within, I'd say, a year that we were there. Again, you know, if you were a church meeting in a high school, we were meeting at Kaiser High School at that time. It's a what could be easily called a portable church. You have to set everything up. You're out there at 6 in the morning on Sunday and setting up A-frame signs and chairs and setting up drum sets and sound systems and all the other things that go along with that. And, you know, if you have some people that are capable and faithful and willing to do that, get up early on a Sunday morning and do those things. And, of course, you know, I was the pastor, so, you know, you roll up your sleeves and get involved. And that's what I did. And at that time, I was continuing to help with music. And then I would preach. And then we'd greet everybody and put all the chairs away and the tables and basically go home and crash for the rest of the afternoon. And you get up and try to do that again. And like I say, we saw a number of bright spots. One of the things that was difficult was that during even that first year, there was some additional people that it became apparent that they were tired. They were discouraged. They were operating outside of their spiritual gifts, and it was wearing on them. And some of them said, I need a break. And I said, listen, you do what you have to do to get your be back in a sustainable kind of a position. And yet it kind of dwindled a little more. You continue to have Bible studies and outreaches and different things. And, you know, we really didn't have much money to hire a whole lot of people. Eventually hired a guy that had gone to Kaiser, a guy named Ian McKnight, who was a youth pastor for us for a while. And was very faithful in working with the kids and so forth. But long story short, Danny, about 5 years into it, and I'd been working maybe 75, 80 hours a week, we had other things going on. Our kids had just basically become teenagers. We finally were able to buy a small townhouse, and Dawn's mother got ill, had a heart attack, and we had to care for her, and just a number of additional things that were kind of on our plates at that time. But I started not feeling well, and went to the doctor, got all these tests, and in the end he said, you know, you have something kind of like chronic fatigue syndrome, and I never had anything like that. I'd been an athlete and so forth, and just couldn't understand it. But the bottom line is that, you know, a number of people rallied around and were very encouraging, including, you know, the staff at Kaimuki Christian. One guy that was on staff at KCC at that time was Jay Jarman, who's still a good friend. And the church actually sent him out there, minimum one day a week, to come out and just work with us to try to help us. And Jay, you know, tried his hardest, but he just told me, you need some time off, you know, you need a break. And so I took about almost 2 months off during that era and came back and felt a little better. But the bottom line is there was sort of a prevailing pessimism, is the best way I could put it, Danny. And a few influential people that were in the church at that time that basically said, you need to move on, Jerry. And that was really difficult. I have to be honest, that was one of the lowest points in my life because I didn't feel well to begin with. And then to basically, you know, you give and give and give, and then to be made to feel like, you know, there's a door was very difficult. Now, I do have to add that some of the people in the church were wonderful, and we're still great friends with many of them. I bump into them in the community. And so, you know, like I said, I don't want to overblow that. But as I say, at that time, it was a very difficult time. And I asked God a lot of questions during that time period, not the least of which was, Lord, why did I go and get that master's degree? Why did I leave that career in tennis when I did? And why would you lead me to what seems to be a dead end? But, you know, again, God was faithful that entire time. It took a while to sort through what he wanted us to do next. But as I say, eventually I reconnected with Mark Gallagher, who was the principal at Kamaki Christian School at that time. We'd been friends for many years. And he said, you know, I need a middle school teacher. And I came in and worked there. And it was interesting. I went back to teaching tennis part-time again during that time period, which is interesting. I had been the young guy in the early years, and then I was kind of the old guy at that point. So that was very interesting. But what I saw during that time and then subsequent to that, 5 years later when Ron asked me to come back on the pastoral staff, is that, again, God is the great redeemer, not just of our decisions that perhaps were ill-advised, but even the decisions of others who may have actually even meant well. But as Joseph told his brothers, look, what you may have meant for the wrong purposes, God can turn around for good. And I think that's the thing that I would encourage anybody who's listening today that feels like, you know, I'm kind of like that, Jerry. I have given and I've give and give and give, and then to kind of feel a let down and betrayed and sort of like, why did I even do this? I would just encourage you to remember that Jesus can redeem even the mistakes of other people. And you need to be faithful in where you are right now, serving to the best of your ability in whatever context he puts you in, and then continue to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And when you do that, I believe that God will direct your steps, because when we trust in the Lord and we don't lean on our own understanding, when we acknowledge him in all our ways, then he will direct our path.
Encouraging words, Jerry. Pastor Jerry Hubbard, thank you so much for sharing heart to heart with us today. What a blessing you are.
Well, thank you, Danny, and thank you for your faithfulness over the years and, I would add, a variety of contexts over the years. Thank you for your faithfulness.
Heart to Heart with Jerry Hubbard. Find out more about Jerry and, of course, the ministry of Kamaki Christian at kamakichristian.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe, hey, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, financial support, make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 6, verse 9. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Pastor Jerry Hubbard, KamakiChristian.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.